picking up there in the 33rd verse. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. There's an old saying about there's lies, darn lies, and there's statistics. You guys know that one, right? There's some statistics out there that would seem to be impossible. For instance, if you took 1 billion people out of China's population and out of India's population, they would still be the two most populous nations on the face of the earth. Can you imagine such a thing? That you could take away 1 billion and they're still the biggest. In a tongue-in-cheek kind of way of poking fun at our friends from Texas, do you guys know what happens if you cut Alaska in half? Texas becomes the third largest state in the Union. Right? Those things just, they don't seem to quite mesh with our understanding of how the world is, right? But factually, we can somehow do the math and we can get there and go, huh, that's interesting. There's other facts and statistics that make us less willing to do that. 1 out of 8 children in this country lives in hunger and poverty. 52% of all public school children in this nation are on free or reduced lunch. That's over half of all the kids in our public school system nationwide live below a poverty threshold. That doesn't seem like it matches up with our image of ourselves. And that's what gets us to this passage, because this passage is all about things that aren't supposed to happen. If you listened carefully, if you didn't get caught too deeply in Pilate's philosophical question about what is truth, and if you didn't get too caught up with is Jesus a king, you heard that the chief priests and scribes brought, well, Jesus was already with Pilate. They showed up at Pilate's building, his administrative center, but they don't go in. Because to go into Rome's building is to defile themselves for the Passover. If there was ever a case of dealing with the speck in your eye versus the log in your neighbor, this is it. "Hi, we're conspiring to kill the Savior of the world, but we're not going to go in the courthouse to do it." Does that make any sense? So they don't go in. Pilate comes out to them. Can you imagine a judge today going, "Oh, they're offended. They're not. I'll go out to them and do court outside." Bang, bang, contempt of court, 40 days in the jail. Here's your fine. Have a nice time, right? And they go back and forth, and Pilate says, "Well, you guys handle it." And they say, "We can't. We're not allowed. We can't put anybody to death. Now, you guys have read ahead. You know what's going to happen next, right? You know that what happens on Friday, right? So Pilate goes back in, and he has this conversation with Jesus. And the conversation with Jesus is loaded. I mean, it's, are you the king of the Jews? Well, who's asking? I'm not Jewish. I don't really care. I just want to know the answer, Pilate says. Some say I'm a king. You can almost imagine Pilate going, seriously? Just give me a straight answer. They go back and forth. Jesus says, I come into the world that truth may be known. And then Pilate says, what is truth? And then Pilate leaves the room and he goes out and says, there's nothing on this guy. You guys got nothing. But we've got this tradition that I free somebody. So do you want this guy? And then the people choose Barabbas. Think for a moment about how many times the not supposed to, the impossible, happens in this. They can't go into the Pilate's building. They can't put somebody to death. They can't find charges against Jesus. What happens anyway? Jesus dies. Jesus is put to death anyway. We spend a lot of time talking about the way things should be, and I think all of us would agree that this passage is not the way things should be. It is a powerful statement about the way things are. A really powerful statement about the way things are. So if I spin some of this into modern day speak, political appointee Pilate, right? Right? Meets with special interest group from the temple. Special interest group has already had a lobbyist named Judas, who took payment. That's how we got to this place, right? And what seems impossible happens. The innocent man will die. We spend a lot of time on what we can't do. Imagine what we can do if we put our minds to it. A group of first century Jewish scribes and leaders put the Savior of the world to death because they put their minds to it. And we want to say that there's a problem we can't solve. Come on, people. They literally moved heaven and earth. So the question is, what do we lack in getting the impossible done? We, big we, make the we as big as you want to make it. Okay? We live in a world where a third of the world's population doesn't have access to safe, clean drinking water. Where over a third of the world, where more people in the world have access to cell phones than have access to safe, clean drinking water or flush toilets. Can you imagine such a thing? It seems impossible, or at least improbable, at least unlikely, right? I mean, somewhere I've got to be fudging these numbers, right? Well, I wish. The piece that is really, really powerful in this passage to me is in light of all the ways this is not supposed to happen. The story is not supposed to go this way. These are the people Jesus was sent to speak to and save, right? And they turn away. And they do more than turn away. I mean, turning away would be benign compared to what they do. Jesus somehow has the composure to say, this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm here for. I think the question with us is, faced with the impossibilities of the can't and the shouldn't and the don't and the won't, is what are we here for? Right? What are we here for? The Ministerial Alliance serves approximately 400 families a month with food baskets. Now, if you figure the average family has four people in Marion, that's 1,600 people out of a community with a population of 18,000. That scares me, folks. That scares me. Serve nearly 400 meals a week, hot meals. Out of a community of 18,000. 2% of Marion's population gets lunch 5 days a week at the soup kitchen. That seems, well, it just seems like it can't be. But here we are. I believe that the challenge for us as we go towards a day when God does the impossible, what is truly impossible for us to do, is to wonder why we're getting so stuck on can't and won't and don't, when those words clearly don't matter. Those things happen anyway. It is the woman at the well. You remember her? We talked about her a couple weeks ago. She goes back into town. I met a man who told me everything I had ever done. He can't be the Messiah. Can he? Can he? We are people who worship a God who does things in a way that we don't do them. And we worship a God who figures out how to do something magnificent and transformative, even when we're doing our very best to deny God the ability to do that. If you guys know the story of Paul, you guys know Paul, right? He's kind of famous, church circles. We first get introduced to him. Do you remember where we first find him in Scripture? The stoning of Stephen. He's holding coats while people stone the first deacon of the church. There is no way that guy is going to become Jesus' biggest cheerleader, is there? There is no way that this crazy crackpot is going to take 12 dudes who are fishermen and tax collectors and lawyers, and 2,000 years later, we're still going to be talking about it. That's just crazy talk. None of those guys are even literate. Huh. What do we read from every Sunday? We get stuck on can't. God gets stuck on is going to happen. We go from here ever so slowly to Pilate's courtyard, where an innocent man is convicted, condemned, and sent off to be put to death And in our world, that is the end of the story. Because people just don't come back from the dead. Do they? God does something different. Stones just don't roll away from tombs, do they? The Savior of the world just doesn't show up first to women, does he? We spend a lot of time arguing about what can't be done or what won't be done or what we're not going to do. And while we spend our time on that, God is busy doing it. As we are the faithful people of the crucified and risen Lord, I would encourage us to be a little bit less like the chief priests and a lot more like Jesus. As we move to the season of resurrection, through the season of pain and betrayal, I invite you to consider which path we should take. To God alone be the glory, stay in forevermore. Amen.